2 Corinthians chapter 10, and don't know if I really have a message tonight or a Bible study, but we'll just see how it comes out, amen. You never know how it might come out. I just want to give you something that the Lord laid on my heart and just been thinking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm just going to read a few familiar verses as a way to get started. The Bible says in verse number 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, when Paul says walk in the flesh, I don't believe he's talking about the kind of walking in the flesh when you're fulfilling the lusts and desires of the flesh, but he's saying we're in this flesh. We live in this flesh. We have to walk in this world, and we're in this flesh, and we can't get out of it. But he says we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's why when Christ was arrested, eventually put to death on the cross, he told Peter, "Put your sword up." He did not call, 10,000 angels. There was not a battle, because that was not a carnal warfare. That was a spiritual battle. And verse number 5, he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and Lord, I thank you for saving me. It's good, been good to be in church already, and I pray you've been pleased. Lord, now as we open your word, you know what I believe you've laid on my heart. I ask for your touch, anointing. Lord, I really need you tonight. So, Lord, I pray you fill me and use me and bless your people, encourage them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray we could get something out of this. And Lord, I pray that you would bless pastors he preaches tonight, give him an anointing and a touch as he preaches. And thank you for blessing that meeting so far. We love you, Lord, and pray you just bless the rest of the night now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I just remembered, I forgot to announce, but we do have nursing home Friday night as well at 7:30, right? Amen. So, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to preach out verse 5. The Bible says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We know this verse. Many probably have it underlined in their Bible or can quote it or part of it. Probably heard it preached on a lot, but I believe, man, there's a lot of good truths, a lot of help in this verse. It starts by saying, casting down imaginations. You know, it's one thing for a child to have imaginations, and most children do. Some of them have good imaginations, amen? And if you know one of my children, he'll remain unnamed, amen? He's got quite the imagination. And that's one thing for a child. But for an adult to have great imaginations, the Bible says casting down imaginations. If your mind is filled with imaginations, I look at that spiritually, you're still in the childhood stage of spirituality. If your mind is full of imaginations, what are we supposed to do? Cast them down. We're supposed to get rid of them. We're not supposed to live a Christian life in fantasy land. That's what imaginations, fantasies, they're made up. They're things that are not known to be true, but that I've imagined. And the Bible says we're to cast down imaginations. Listen, if you come in here tonight and your mind is filled with imaginations, it's going to severely hinder you from getting anything out of the service tonight. If you open your Bible in the morning and your mind's filled with imaginations, you're not going to get what God has for you to get. Then he says, "And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I really want to look at that last part there. It says, "Bringing into captivity every thought." Boy, you just think of every thought. You know what some of us have? Some of us have busy minds. And to think of every thought that we think, now some, you don't have to worry, that's not that many, amen? Not very many thoughts at all, amen? That mind is just, it's a lot of hollow space in there. But some of us have busy minds, and we're always thinking. And the Bible says, bringing into captivity, in other words, you're supposed to bring it under the will of God, bring it under the will of the Word of God, every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we're not supposed to have any thoughts that go outside of what the will of God or the Word of God wants for us. And I just want to preach or teach or look at some things in the Bible on our thought life. On our thought life. You know, many people today, I believe many people today, they live a whole separate secret life in their minds. There's a lot of people today, and they're two people. They're the person you see, and then there's a whole secret life they've got, and it's all right here. And the two of them could not be more different than day and night. Wet and dry. Cold and hot. You understand? It's very different. And I'm telling you that your thought life, you've heard this, it's many times called the battleground of the devil, the main place where the devil will attack you. And the reason is because there's people today that are saved that are not going forward for God. Some of them are not living for God. Some have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And it all stems back to the mind and their thought life. This is the problem with the thought life. You don't know mine, and I don't know yours. I know your appearance, at least when you're out in public, and you know my appearance. I know your words that you actually mutter, or God does, and others around you do, and you know mine. You know what I'm saying? I know your hobbies. You can know my hobbies. You can know my desires. I can know your desires to some degree, but your thoughts, I can't know. And my thoughts, you don't know. You can hide your thoughts. Now, some don't do as good a job hiding their thoughts, but you can. And let me just give you this a little saying here, that thoughts often become desires. Desires often become actions. Actions often become habits. What's a habit start with? It starts with a simple thought. A thought many times will become a desire in your life. If you think about something long enough, you're probably going to eventually desire that thing. And if you desire something long enough, it's going to provoke you to do something, to an action. And if you do something long enough and enough of times, you know what it becomes? It becomes a habit in your life. You can have a habit in your life that it is nigh impossible for you to break, that started in your thought life, in your mind. I just want to preach and look at our thought life. I think it's very important for us that our thought life, our mind be right. Go to Proverbs chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. Do you know what I've learned? I'm 37 years old. I think I'm 37. The older I get, my birthdays come so fast, I can't keep up with them. Just by the time I remember what age I am, it's time to become a year older. You know, it's hard to keep. Man, when you were young, you know, when you were 11 years old and 1 year from hunting, that year might as well have been 20 years. You know, when you were 15 and 1 year from getting your license, I mean, that was an eternity. But getting your 30s, it seems like in 2 months you've got another birthday, so I can't. But I think I'm 37 years old. You know what I've learned in church? And this is going to sound simple, but I've come to learn this the hard way, and I'm still learning it, is a lot of people. I was going to say most. I don't know if I want to say most, but a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they're not as they appear. You know, Brother Dan and I count ourselves friends. I hope that's both ways, you know. We serve in a lot of ministries together. We've talked a lot. I mean, you know, I think we have a good relationship. But you know, I could know just a small fraction of Dan Clare's life. And he could know just a small. You know what I think? I think I know Brother Dan. And he probably thinks he knows me. But the truth is, I may not really know Brother Dan that well. He could have a whole entire part of his life that nobody's allowed into. And the same with you and I. And I'm just trying to say, I've learned that things are not always as they appear to be. There's people that I used to think, I mean, were something that they were not. I mean, I was convinced, in fact, Caleb, I would have argued with you that they were really this, and they weren't really that. Why? Because I didn't see their thought life. Their thought life was a whole secret life they kept hid from everybody else. Listen, I wonder tonight if our thought life was published in a book and made available for sale, especially on whatever, digital or, you know, on Reader, you know, Because some of us, we don't do books anymore. But anyways, however, what if our thought life was published? Do you know how scary that would be for some of us? Your thought life. Proverbs 24, verse number 9, the Bible says this. The thought of foolishness is sin. You know, that's an amazing verse because I don't have to exert any energy. I don't have to get up out of a chair. I don't have to get up out of bed. I don't have to have a confrontation with somebody. I don't have to go get something or go somewhere or do something. But I can sin against God with one simple thought in my mind. Because the Bible very clearly says the thought of foolishness is sin. I wonder how many of us in the last week, we've sinned against God with a thought that we had. I'm just talking about our thought life. Many times we think things that are foolishness, that God counts as sin. We think about it and we put it back somewhere in the dark recesses of our mind. And we go on with life as if everything's fine. But you know what God says? He says that's sin. We've got a problem here. We've got to get sin. Take care of it. He that covereth his sin shall not what? Shall not prosper. That's why what I'm trying to get across tonight is how important our thought life is. If your thought life is wrong, your Christian life cannot be right. So the thought of foolishness is sin. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. I've got a lot here. I don't know if we'll look at all of them. Like I said, it's going to be like a Bible study. Amen. Prayer and Bible study. And Ephesians chapter 2. And look in verse number 3. Ephesians 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Do you see that there? Talking about the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. It's not just the desires of the flesh, it was the desires of the mind. That's where the desire starts. It starts with your mind, with you thinking about it. Then it gets down into your heart, and then it becomes an action. Yeah, the thought of foolishness is sin. You think about people in the Bible, that things they thought. I'm going to look at some of them. Go to Genesis chapter 20. We're just going to look at some people in the Bible. Things they thought that we're going to find out later they were wrong. Either wrong in that they were deceived, that the thought they were thinking was a false thought, or it was a thought of sin, a thought of foolishness. Genesis chapter number 20. I'm not going to read the whole story, but this is about Abraham. He went down and into the land of Egypt, and Abimelech went to take his wife. And we're just going to skip down Genesis chapter 20, verse 11. Abraham said, because I, what? Thought. Surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Did he know that for a fact? Was that 100% guaranteed he was going to die because of his wife? No. You know what he did? He thought. Caleb, he thought something. He thought two things. He said, the fear of God is not in this place. That was probably accurate. That was the world. They were heathen. There probably was no fear of God. And then because of that, he said, and they're going to kill me so they can have my wife. So you know what he did? He lied about his wife. His thoughts were guided by fear. You know, fear will get you to think things that are not necessarily true, but you'll be convinced that they're true. Not only that, they were fleshly thoughts. They were very selfish thoughts. So in other words, Abraham said, I would rather my wife get taken by another man, think about that, men, than me die for my wife. That's how much Abraham loved his wife. He said, you know what? I'd rather you just go ahead and go get married to another man, go sleep with another man, rather than me die for you. That's what he said. So he lied about it and said, she's my sister and not my wife. And it all started with a what? He said, I thought. He didn't pray about it. He didn't check with God. He just thought, and that's what he did. Genesis chapter 50, you don't have to go there. Joseph's brothers are standing before him. Jacob has died. They've been moved down there into Egypt. You know the story. And Joseph says this to his brothers. He says, ye thought to do me evil. Now, if you study chapter 37 and 39 and 40 there, where they sell him into slavery. He comes out in Egypt. The Bible never specifically says his brothers thought. But remember when he was going to find them, his father Jacob had sent Joseph to find his brothers. They saw him coming a long way off, and the Bible says they began to say, "What shall we do with this dreamer?" You know what those his older brothers did? They began to think how they could do evil to him. Boy, that's real good thought life, isn't it? They had thought long and hard about revenge. And what was the revenge on? About dreams that God had given him. But they thought to do evil to another person. Listen, if you think about doing evil to somebody long enough, you might just eventually put feet to those thoughts. And that would be in revenge. And for all we know, the Bible doesn't say it, but you know, Joseph's brothers, they probably were bitter against him. They had thought about that so much, that had bothered them. They were so envious and jealous of him, and that hatred they had for him, I believe, had probably even turned into bitterness. In Judges chapter 15, let's go and go there. Judges chapter 15, just looking at some people that thought some things that were wrong. Either they were wrong because they were foolishness, like they thought evil, or they were wrong in that they were thinking the wrong thing. They were deceived. It wasn't even the truth. In Judges 15, verse number 1, it says, "But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with the kid. And he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion." Now I know Samson's messed up, but Samson married this woman. He goes back with a gift for her. And his father said, "Oh, sorry, I thought you hated her. She's married somebody else." You imagine that? Being gone from your wife, coming home, and your wife's dad saying, "Oh, sorry, I thought you hated her, and she'd married somebody else. Sorry, you're out of luck. You're out of a wife." Why? Because that guy thought. Why do you think Samson hated her? I don't know. But because of one simple thought that he had, look at the major decision he made and how many lives that affected. 1 Samuel 1, verse 13, you know this story. Hannah's praying. She is grieved by not having a child. What did Eli think she was? She thought she was drunk. He thought, you know what Eli did? He thought evil of a godly woman. Was Hannah a godly woman? She was. She was a woman that got her prayer answered. A very specific prayer. She asked for a man child. God gave her a man child. And Eli, the priest, he thought she's drunk. Could you imagine? Could you imagine whatever one of the most heaviest burdens you've ever carried in your life as a Christian? And coming to the man of God and trying to pray and pour out your spirit, or maybe just praying and the man of God come and saying, "You're drunk. Why'd you get drunk?" Could you imagine the grief that would cause on top of the problem? Eli, he rushed to judgment because of something he thought he saw. And he thought she was drunk. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1 through 3, we won't go there. It's the story of Amnon and his sister Tamar. And right in there it talks about how he thought, about how he could do evil with his sister, but then try to get away with it. And you know the immorality that went on in that wicked man and that wicked act that he committed with his sister, half-sister, whatever she was. And where did it all start? He thought about it. He thought about it so much that he said he was sick over it. And then he went and it became a desire, like I said in the beginning, a desire that drove him. Then he had a real good friend, very, very important who your friends are. His friend counseled him to do wrong. Any friend that would counsel you anything against the word of God or the will of God is not a good friend. They're a friend you need to cut bait with, if you know what I mean. You need to get away from them. But that friend counseled him and he put actions. Why did all that happen? Because of something he thought. Let me just say something here, young people. It's very important how you think and what you think on. You know, let's talk about courting for just a minute here tonight. You know what we believe around here? We do believe in courting. We believe the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And then just in case you don't understand that, the very next verse says, nevertheless to avoid fornication. So that's what we believe touching is outside of marriage. It's fornication. And we believe you ought to wait till your parents approve and your pastor approves. That would be good. Amen. And you probably ought to be out of high school. That'd be good. No need to get married in high school. Amen. And you get married because you're ready to have a family and take on the responsibility of a husband and a wife. That's what we believe. And you know what? And your parents and your pastor, they're going to put those hedges they have. And they're not going to let you date, at least not in the blessing of their home and the blessing of this church. But you know what? Doesn't mean you can't do it in your mind. Nobody ever know. You think about it. You think about your girl. You think about boys. Your boy, you think about girls. Parents don't know. Your pastor don't know. You know what they think? They think you're waiting on God. And you are outside, but in your mind you're not. Because your mind's filled with that. Why? I'm telling you, you think on that long enough, you're going to get the desire. And you get that desire burn in your heart long enough, you're going to put some actions to it somehow. And even if you don't, it's still going to defile your mind. You know, there's something in the Bible about, while we're on the subject, that's always amazed me. The Bible talks about a virgin, and it always says a chaste virgin. I mean, a virgin is a virgin, right? But the Bible clearly makes a distinction. There's a difference between a virgin and being chaste. It mentions a virgin, and it mentions a chaste virgin. You know what I believe? Maybe you're wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. If you could show me from the Bible, I'll admit I'm wrong. But you could be a virgin not chaste in your mind. But anyways, I'll just throw it out there for free. I'm just saying young people. By young people, I mean, I don't know what age. Young people. Amen. If you're not married, if you're single. And this is good for married folk too, but mainly single people. Even you kids. It's not cute to think about boys and think about girls and who you like. And if you think they're cute, what? You're thinking wrong. Your thought life is wrong. And I know mom and dad can't see, and I know the pastor can't see, but God does. And God says the thought of foolishness is sin. I wonder how many times you've sat in your bedroom and you've committed sin against God in your mind and never got it right with God. And you think you're getting away with it. You think you're a good church kid. But God knows who you are. And God knows what you are. And God knows your thought life. I don't. And you don't know mine. And you know what? We're both probably pretty glad we don't know each other's thought life. But God does. He knows all our thoughts. And then in 2 Samuel 21, verse 16, Ishbi-Benob. You guys remember that guy? Remember David? He was getting a little older. You know, like Dad. He was getting a little older. I got myself in trouble with this guard at the prison last week. Burdan and I show up, and she goes, Is Michael Keenan here? I was like, no, he didn't come this week. She goes, is that your brother? I said, oh, no, he's way too old to be my brother. Well, she's like, well, then last night she remembered it. So if Dad ever goes in there, I'm in trouble. But anyways, David was getting older. And the Bible says, Ishbi-Benob thought to have slain David. You know what he thought he was going to do? He thought he was going to kill the king of Israel. He thought he was going to kill the sweet psalmist of Israel. He thought he was going to kill the man after God's own heart. Why would he think that? Goliath had tried it. All those Philistines had tried it. Saul had tried it. Everybody tried to kill David. Guess what happened to him? Everyone. They failed and they ended up dying. But he thought he was going to kill David. And what happens? Abishai. Remember that? He killed him. It got him killed. He should have known better. But he didn't because he was a heathen. Nehemiah 6, verse 1 and 2, Sanballat, Tobiah, the Bible says they thought to do evil to Nehemiah. And what those men were doing, they were scheming how they could do evil. How about Haman? He thought to do evil to Mordecai, Esther 3, verse 6. You know what Mordecai did? Mordecai ruined Haman's life. It was nothing. It wasn't that Mordecai wanted to. Haman got eat up with one man, Mordecai. He kept Haman from enjoying life. When Haman looked at Mordecai, it bothered him. It consumed him. It caused him grief and bitterness. And eventually, Haman died because of what he thought he could do to Mordecai. How about Naaman? Remember Naaman? Man, God said, go dip 7 times in Jordan. Remember the song? Yeah, we're not going to sing that song. And what did Naaman say? But I thought, you know what he thought? He thought he knew what was going to be the right thing for him to do, and he was wrong. You know what the rich man in Luke 12:17, he said, the Bible says he thought within himself, I will build bigger barns. You know what he thought? He thought his focus was should be on barns. And really it should have been on getting saved. He was thinking about the temporal, and he should have been thinking about eternity. And the Bible called him a fool. God called him a fool. You think about David. I mentioned him last night in the prison. David committed what we would call two great sins. I know there's not great sins and little sins, but we would still call them two great sins. He committed adultery with another man's wife. And then he had that man killed, murdered, so he could marry that woman that he stole from that man. And you know what it all started with? It all started, he should have been out to battle. He wasn't where he was supposed to do doing, but he looked at that woman. And you know the very next thing that happened, he began to think. And if his thoughts had been right and pure and clean, he never would have committed adultery with Bathsheba. I'm just saying, the thought to foolishness is sin. Let me tell you this. Go to Psalms chapter 139. This is not going to be anything new either. I'm here, but God knows all our thoughts. God knows all our thoughts. So my first point, if trying to outline it, is the thought of foolishness is sin. And all those people I just mentioned, you know what they thought? They thought foolishness. That was foolishness they thought. Then the second thing is that God knows all our thoughts. Psalms 139, verse 1, the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know what God does? Not only does he know, but he understands our thoughts. Go to Job chapter number 42 real quick. Job chapter number 42. Job chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Do you understand? There's not one thought you've ever had or can have that you can hide from God. He knows every single thought we've ever had. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, you don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you real quick. But it says this in verse number 2. Says, not 10. Oh, I think I wrote the wrong reference down, but it talks about it, not to curse in your thoughts. Remember that verse? I wrote it down. But it says, even in your thoughts, not to curse. Colossians 2:18 talks about a fleshly mind. Let me read you. Go to Titus chapter number 1. Colossians 2 talks about a fleshly mind, and he's writing to the church in Colossians 2. That's for Christians. That's not talking about just a lost person's fleshly mind. But I'll read that. Colossians 2:18 says this. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then Titus 1:15, the Bible says this. Under the pure are things are pure, but under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Do you know what I've seen people whose mind is defiled. God knows our thoughts. Even in our thoughts, God says, don't curse. Just because it doesn't come out of your mouth doesn't mean it's okay. He says, if you curse in your mind, it's just as if you said it. And what I'm saying is if you think it in your mind, it's just as if you did it in the mind of God. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think about. You are what your thought life is. You're not what you pretend to be to me and what I pretend to be to you. We are what our thought life is. That's who we are. And that's one day God is going to judge us and we're going to give account of all that. Let me ask you this, young people. What's your thoughts about your parents? Not what do you say, but what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts when they really aggravate you? What's your thoughts when they do something you don't think is quite fair or quite it should be expected? What's your thoughts of your parents? Hey, folks, what's your thoughts about the authorities in your life? What do you think about them when it's all just you and nobody else you think but you and God? What is it when they've crossed your will, said something you don't agree with or you don't like, or something you feel that was offensive? What's your thoughts about your authorities? Hey, church, what's your thoughts about your pastor? What's your thought life about your pastor? When he preaches something that, again, goes against something you want or you believe in? What's your thoughts about young people, about other authorities, leaders, and adults in your life, teachers, whoever it might be? What's your thoughts about other Christians in the church? Here's a good one. What's our thoughts about those who are just a little different from us? They're not quite as spiritual as us. You know, they haven't quite advanced in the Christian faith like us. What kind of thoughts do we have? Because the Bible does say the thought foolishness is sin. Already hit it. What's your thoughts about boys, girls, teenagers, children, preteens? Who knows nowadays? Adults? What's your thoughts about the opposite sex, women and men? What's your thought? Are they pure? Are they clean? Are they undefiled? Are they honorable to God? Or is it foolishness? It's sin in the eyes of God. Listen, we can't hide our thoughts from God. You said, you already said that. Yeah, we can't hide our thoughts from God. We think many times as if God's not seeing that thought that we're thinking. So God knows all our thoughts. And I want to close with this thought. How can we have right thoughts? How can we have, listen, I don't know about you, I want right thoughts. Because God's, you talk about a mind reader, God is a mind reader. He knows the thoughts I'm going to have tomorrow, and I haven't even had them yet. Proverbs chapter number 30. You know what I've seen time and time again? I've seen young people, Caleb, sometimes the sorriest people I've ever met are second and third generation Christians. They're sorry. It's like they're born with a chip on their shoulder that they had to be a second generation or third generation Christian. And they just got, some of them have the sorry excuse of a life. But anyways, see young people brought up in church, and man, they look good. They dress right and they talk right and they do everything and they know how to make their parents happy and they know how to make the pastor happy and they know how to impress everybody. And of course, they only do things at certain times. I'm just telling you that church kids, they're smart. They're experts. I mean, they're very deceitful. So how do you know? I watch Grace. How else you think I know? No, I'm just... I just had to get that in. No, I've... Listen, I don't know how I know from all my other brothers and sisters. Amen? But you know what church kids can do? They can get you to think just about anything they want you to think about. They can appear to be, I mean, just as sharp as a tack and just as straight as an arrow. And then you fast forward a few years and you see these people and you never know the kind of upbringing they had. Can I tell you something? That did not happen just like that. They didn't go to bed one night all good and wake up the next morning all bad. There is no way. And if you investigate a little farther, you know what happened? Their thought life was wrong. When the prodigal son left the father's house, that morning he left was not the first morning he thought about leaving. I promise you, I guarantee you, he thought about it. He was disgruntled with his parents. He did not like something. He did not like one of his chores. He thought, his thoughts began to go and eventually began to think how unfair his parents were and how hard it was and how mean and how terrible that farm was and again, think about the far country, and I'm telling you, it was his thought life that led him down that terrible path. And I'm telling you, even tonight, I know it looks good. And we got young people, 5 weeks of staff. I mean, they're spiritual. You might be surprised. We got people, we went to the prison last night. Man, they're spiritual. You don't know that. Man, they teach in the school, and they're in clubs, and they go to the nursing home. You don't know how, you may not want to know who they really are. I'm just saying. If they had a diary, and if they let you read their diary, you might be terrified of that person. Just throw that out there. Parents, if your kids have a diary, and they don't let you read it, you've got problems. Amen. Well, we'll move on. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 32. If thou hast done foolishly, what is the thought? Foolishness, it's sin. If thou hast done foolishly, in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, what's the Bible say to do? They line hand upon thy mouth. Do you get that picture there? I'm sorry, the picture just came to my mind. was Mrs. Angus, and one of the times she was running something over. And her hand going, oh my goodness, what have I done? I'm sorry, just trying to add a little humor. We need a little humor right now. And I know she can handle it, I think. I'm not sure where Kevin can, but. What's he saying there? If you have thought evil, what are you supposed to do? Lay your hand to your mouth. Why do we do that? When you're shocked, when you realize something is not right, it should be a shock to you. It should be, whatever that is, an embarrassment, a disappointment. It should grieve you. It should be, oh no, what have I done? I have thought evil in my mind. It should terrify you. It should scare you. When the realization that you thought evil, God has known those thoughts. That's the first thing you need to do, is become aware of what the evil is you've been thinking. And then go to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. I'm almost done. Acts chapter 8. Coming in the middle of picture here. Simon thought that he could buy the gift of the Holy Ghost with money. And Peter says this, verse 22 of Acts chapter 8. Repent therefore of this thy what? Wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. What did he call that? He called it wickedness. And where did it all come from? The thought of your heart. You know what Peter told him? He says, you need to repent and ask God if the thought of your heart could be forgiven you. Listen, if we've done wrong, if we've thought evil, the thought of foolishness is sin. If we have thought, if our thought life is full of sin, what do we need to do? Realize it. Then we need to repent of them. If you've not been thinking, right? If you've thought wrong thoughts, dirty thoughts, unkind thoughts, whatever it might be, you know what we need to do? We need to repent of it. It is sin. It is as if I stole from God, or as if I robbed the bank. You understand? Or lied. It's the same thing. Go to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. This is a story of Peter denying Christ. Mark chapter 14, verse number 72. The Bible says this, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. What did he think on? He thought on the words of God that God had said before the cock crowed twice. You're going to deny me three times. But you know what I want to say here? Peter should have thought of that just a little bit earlier in the chapter. How different his life would have been if he had thought of that just a little bit earlier. You know, do your kids ever do something and you're like, did you think before you did that? I mean, did you just take even 10 seconds? I mean, even to a kid, 10 seconds can't be that long a time. And just think for a moment about what you were about to do. Any parent here ever thought of that? My parents probably thought that about me once or twice, maybe. You know what God's probably thinking about Peter there? Peter, did you take just a moment and think before you cussed and swore and denied me three times? Did you not think? How can we have right thoughts? Think on the Word of God. And think about things before you go ahead and get into them. We need to think on the Word of God. Psalms 1:2, I mentioned on Sunday about meditating. We need to think on the Word of God. We need to meditate in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate on these things. Joshua 1:8 talks about meditating day and night. Psalms 1, verse 2. We need to think on the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Whatever those thoughts might be that some of you struggle with, when those thoughts come, you need to meditate. Think on the Word of God. Get yourself a verse. Memorize it. Write it on something on your hand or whatever. But have something. You say what? Get something and think on the Word of God. It's hard to meditate in the Word of God and have evil thoughts at the same time. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. How do you do battle in your mind? With the Word of God, it's the only way. Romans 12 talks about being renewed in your mind. You know what your mind needs? It needs made new, made over again. Some of you, You need to hit the delete button on some things that are in your mind, some thoughts that you've been having. But it's just not that easy. But you need your mind renewed. How? By the Word of God. You need to get in it. You need to read it. Some of you, instead of just saying you read it, you need to actually read it. And I mean read it, not speed read and not skim and read the five key words of the verse, but read it and get something out of it and think on it. Psalms chapter 19, this is a great verse. This is a great prayer to pray, especially if you're having trouble in your mind, and then try to live this throughout the day. Psalms chapter number 19. Psalms 19, verse number 14, the Bible says this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that's the same, that's what you're thinking on. You understand that? Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The next time you want to think on something that's not wholesome and good and godly, why don't you just say, Lord, is this acceptable to you? I'm thinking, Lord, this is what I'm thinking right now. I'm thinking, Caleb, man, he's a dirty, rotten guy. I can't stand him. I would love to just... Now, Lord, is that acceptable to you? Lord, are you happy with that thought? Well, it'd be hard for me to think that way if I kept trying to make sure the meditation of my heart was acceptable to God. Not acceptable to me, but acceptable to God. And not acceptable to somebody else, because I could probably get Josh to agree with me that Caleb's just a low-down, no-good scoundrel. But I'm not going to get God to agree with me. That's not going to be acceptable to God. Philippians 2:5 tells us we need to have the mind of Christ. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayed on thee. Have you ever met somebody or know somebody, and you can just watch them and you can see in their face it's turmoil? They're unsettled, no peace. You know why? Their mind. The Bible says you keep them in perfect peace. I don't know what perfect peace is, but it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Whose mind is stayed on thee. 1 Peter 1 says, gird up the loins of your mind. That makes me think you need to get your mind out of the gutter, out of the dirt. Gird them up, protect them, bind them up so those evil thoughts don't get in your mind. Protect it with the Word of God. Gird up the loins of your mind. We need to have right thoughts. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You probably knew I was going this verse, but you can hardly preach on having right thoughts and not read this verse, even though most of you probably know it. Philippians 4 verse 8 is the biblical guideline for our thought life. You want a biblical guideline in one verse? This is it for our thought life. Philippians 4 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, what's true? Abraham would never have thought he would have died for his wife if he had just obeyed that verse. Now, I know it wasn't written yet, but you know what I'm saying. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Would Amnon have raped his sister if he had pure thoughts? Never would have happened. Whatsoever things are lovely. Would Joseph's brothers have sold him into slavery if they had lovely thoughts about Joseph? Not hard. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's your guideline for how you're to think. We must, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, to bring our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. Our thoughts must line up with the Bible. They must be clean. They must be true. They must be kind and charitable. They must be humble. They must be acceptable to God. What I tried to teach or preach on or talk about tonight, whatever it was, is our thought life. I'm just saying everybody has a thought life. There's many people that are living secret lives in their thought life. But the problem is many times that eventually becomes your desire. It'll become your action. It might become a habit. Our thought life is very important. I believe in our growth as a Christian. If our thought life is wrong, it's hard for your Christian life. Amen. Let's pray.